Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And we're going to be talking about a subject that you hear about one way or the other every day of your life, whether you're listening to a radio show such as my own, watching television, reading the newspaper, magazine, it's everywhere. Well, what is that? Drugs. We are bombarded with advertisements day in and day out. As consumers, we need to have an understanding about them, and my guest, David Tippy, who is a naturopath, has put together a book that's loaded with a lot of information. The title might grab you, Collapse of Drugs Due to Wellness. Now, this is something that I've spoken of for many, many years, not in this particular manner, but I've said there is plenty of abundance in this world, and keeping people well can be very lucrative as we have a tendency to focus more on sickness than not. I want to welcome David Tippy to the show. Hello, David.
Thank you for having me on the show, Donna. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Well, David, you're a man that is very interesting with your background because you became a naturopath, but you really have dedicated your life to education, self-education, and you have your story in this book. Interestingly enough, it's towards the end. So I'm going to start at the back of your book and start talking about you because
I'm not the important one.
Well, you are because you wouldn't be doing what you are doing if you hadn't walked a particular path in life, and
I think it's true.
Important.
That's true.
And I think we all are who and what we are, dependent on our experiences and how we have chosen to grow with them. And you did quite a bit of that, and one of the points that I thought was really terrific, and it's something that I think is so very, very significant, you really served apprenticeships when you were younger, growing up.
Absolutely.
Learning how to deal with responsibilities, basically learning business when you were quite young. Tell us about the two different men. The first one that had some interesting challenges, and then the second man that really enabled you to refine your skills and abilities so that you were able as an adult to enter into the world with a sense of responsibility and purpose.
You know, that is, I'm so glad you started there, really is a proud part of my life. The beginning of my life, and if you were to play it out, I'm sure to some people might say, oh my goodness, that poor boy. I never thought that. I never felt that. I always felt that what my circumstances were what they were, and what you did with them, of course, was exactly that, what your choice was. And I had the, what someone might call the misfortune of having the ability afforded them by parenting that said, if you want something, you will go work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was not a punishment. That was a way of life. So as I begin to wade myself through life and make my little choices, and of course thereby educating myself, it was through the basics, the very, very raw basics. I mean, as I begin to get opportunities, I love to explain the first one. When I started out, I saw a young boy doing something. He was mowing somebody's grass, and I went up to him, and I said, my goodness, this is not where you live. Why are you mowing this grass? And he says, oh, but this is how I make money to buy my shoes and my shirts and et cetera, when I go to school. And I said, well, that's wonderful, but how did you come about getting to do this? And he said, well, you just go up to the door and knock on the door and ask someone if you can mow their grass. And I said, what a wonderful idea. And I skirted off to the house, and geez, oh, Pete, I thought, who's going to be my first person? And I thought, well, there is an older lady. And, of course, I'm 7 years old, so an older lady could be most anything back then.
But, that's what all kids think.
So when I knocked on my neighbor's door, and I said, something came out of my mouth, and I don't know how it did, because remembering back, it was like a giant knot was in my throat. Can I mow your grass? And she said, oh, well, you dear boy, you certainly can. So, of course, I didn't have a power mower, so I went next door to the garage and got our push mower. In about 3 hours, I was finished with her grass and perspiring wet all over. I came to the door and knocked on the door and told her I was finished. She brought me a glass of Kool-Aid and said, you sit down there, dear boy, and cool off, and thank you again for mowing my grass. And so I finished the Kool-Aid, and she says, and just sit the empty glass on the windowsill there when you're done. And I consider that my first hard lesson. Very quickly, I went back to the young boy the next day, and I said, listen, she didn't pay me. And he explained that you have to make all those negotiations in the beginning. However, I went on with that and wound up making a small little business and went to the door of a person and said, you know, can I mow your grass for X amount of dollars? And I had learned at the time what was good and what was bad. And the gentleman said, you know, would you like to use one of my power mowers? And I was using a push mower. A lot of people don't understand what that is these days, but that is something that has no engine on it at all, and you propel it by pushing it, right?
Mm-hmm. You're the engine, right.
So anyway, and he says, and by the way, would you like to go to work for me? And he had a repair shop in the back of his house to repair lawnmowers and any type of little small engine equipment that had the little small engines. And I thought, my goodness, what an opportunity. I didn't say it out loud, but I said, my goodness, yes, sir, I said. And so I showed up, and he says, I want you to work 8 hours a day, 6 days a week in the summer, and if you get off of school at a time, then I want you to come every day after school and all day Saturday. Now, during the summer months, I'm going to give you $12 a week. Now, that was big money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, started, and for some reason, he was always giving me all of everything to do. In other words, all of the things that went on in the shop, he wanted to go through my hands. I even learned specific accounting. It was three boxes, and how to put invoices that I need to pay here, and here's what I received, and by the way, here's what I need to record as being accounts receivable or accounts paid. So anyway, I kept on, and year after year went by, and I was amazed at how very little time this man spent in the shop. It was always me. And by the way, astoundingly enough, everybody began to treat me like I was a grown man, and like I was a special person that was really helping them. And I was like on top of the world. You can imagine I was getting up there, really old now. I'm 11, about to turn 12, and I was a young man. And as I can recall, as I went back, every time that I was to make deposits, or even when I wrote the check out for myself, I would have to go knock on the door, and normally his wife would come to the door, and she would sign my checks, and I would take them down to the bank. And by the way, he gave me the keys to his Edsel, if anyone can remember what an Edsel was back then. But I would go and deposit the money in the bank and then cash my check. and come back, and of course the thing would start over. Well, one particular day I went to knock on the door, and no one answered, and I noticed the door was kind of ajar. I smelled something terrible coming out of the doorway, so I went in, and I was still hollering for one of them to come, and no one answered, so I made my way back toward the smell, which was the kitchen area where an egg had been cooking on the stove quite a lengthy time, and it was all burnt and stinky. I turned the gas flame off underneath it, and so I slowly went back to the back toward the backside of the house into a bedroom, and there the old gentleman was laying on the bed with his arm kind of cast off of the side, and at the end of the arm, at the end of the hand down there, was an empty vodka bottle. Now, all things come together. I had already been introduced to alcohol with my father, so I knew something about that. And so I turned around. I noticed that the gentleman was still alive because he made some kind of moaning noise. And I went out back to the shop, which was behind the house. Now, all of this time, across the alleyway behind this shop, there was a really nice place where really important-looking men were all the time. Even the people who were coming into this shop was very important-looking. As a matter of fact, I always compare them to looking at the principal of my school. And I'm sitting back there, actually standing in the doorway that actually faces this other shop across the alleyway, and I have no clue what to do. I'm so confused and lost. And there's a gentleman that comes walking across the alleyway. Now, this is a special thing about his walk. He had a very short leg. It was not deformed leg. It was just a shorter leg. So when he would walk, he would go up and down in across the alleyway, but in such a prideful manner that it didn't disturb any respect that you had for the gentleman. When he came over, he was in his pressed khakis with a khaki hat on and came to me, and when he got down on the shorter leg, he was about the same height as I, asked me my name, and I told him my name was David Tippy, and from that moment on, he referred to me as Davy. And this gentleman's name was Marvin Smith, a wonderful, wonderful gentleman. And he told me, he says, Davy, how would you like to come go to work for me? And I dropped my head. I said, I don't know how I could do that because I'd given my word to this gentleman. Now, this may not mean a lot to a lot of folks, but most people in Texas can understand this is how you were raised, that when you gave somebody your word, that was a contract, and better than any paper. Mm-hmm. So the gentleman explained to me, he says, you know, I think you're going to find that the shop is going to be closing. He says, I know both of the people, and the wife is securing a place to bring help to that gentleman. Well, he didn't need to say any more about the help. I understood what he was talking about, and so I raised my head and I said, well, yes, sir, I'd love to work for you. So I started my tenure, if you will, as a person entering this shop, and here's what this shop was. It was a machine shop. Now, I was introduced to every piece of equipment in there and every facet to that piece of equipment. For instance, like the lathe, for example, Mr. Smith, when I was cleaning it, my job was to clean the floors, clean the equipment, et cetera, when I first walked in there, and do whatever any of those important men in there told me to do. So, and every time I would be cleaning one of them, he would come to me with that little short leg down, and he would rest on it, and he would say, Davy, this is a lathe, and this piece of equipment is the only piece of equipment in the world that can reproduce itself. Now, those, of course, were profound at the time. They're certainly interesting, and for people that's in the business, my hat's off to them right today. These are really professionals above all other professionals, because they have to make and design and find out problems and realize what problems are. Mr. Smith used to say, Davy, the only reason a problem exists anywhere in the world is because the correct solution has not been applied to it. And so I began my tenure and was the youngest registered, licensed machinist in Austin, Texas, because of my dedication. And I became the go-to person for design engineering because I was so obsessed with finding the answer to problems that I became so efficient at it that all of these important men began to depend on me. If you can imagine, a person 16 could have been a licensed machinist, but I was too young. I had to be 18 to get my license and registration. Can you imagine that? I had to wait 2 long years to get something I deserved at 16.
Mm-hmm. Well, your story, I think, is important. And the reason I wanted you to share it is because your book, Collapse of Drugs, has a great deal of information in it. You have ended up with a professional life that evolved into understanding wellness on a level that many people today are turning to more and more. And you have some very, very good points of information that I wanted to share with my audience today. And you are very specific in your book about the information you give, because in today's world, there is a major war going on relative to natural supplements, relative to supplementation of any kind. And I am very much aware of that because of various experiences that I've been able to talk to people about, both on the air as well as off the air. And I find it a fascinating paradigm that there is much in the area of wellness that is taking sides, saying this is bad, this is good, so on and so forth. And one of the things that you have done, the disciplines that you learned at a very young age, have stood you well, because now you actually have a goal and a dream of having clinics all through the country for wellness.
Exactly.
And this is something that you really feel, and you call it the anti-aging clinic. You started your first one in 2001. And a good basis of this is educating people on toxicity of medication and also understanding with the body it's garbage in, garbage out. And I really felt that your personal story was important, but also that you felt very strongly that the biggest ace that we have is educating ourselves.
Absolutely.
And you bring out information about the FDA. You bring information out about the pharmaceutical companies. You go into talking about a Dr. Benedict Lust, who is a man, along with some others that I'm aware of, that really set some precedences with treatments for healing people of cancer, etc. And I wanted to talk about some different organizations. One, the Natural Products Association, which used to be the National Nutritional Food Association, and the Council for Responsible Nutrition. Now, the abbreviations are NPA, NNFA, and CRN. Tell us a little bit about those groups.
Well, they are, I think, the best way to describe them are front groups that describe and carry on business for what I have termed the real boss. Now, I want you to understand that monopolies cannot exist without government intervention.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Now, one of the things about healthcare is it is monopolized. Now, once you can relate to that, and I'll give some pointers about that and give a specific example, you then realize that the actual goings-on, if you will, in all of these kinds of agencies, as well as the top one, the FDA, are geared toward helping and assisting that monopoly. Now, let's talk about the monopoly. It's the most important one. And that is, to monopolize something, you have to make it an environment that is unlivable and unexistable for your competition. Now, think about a box. This is the best way to visualize the entire analogy of this monopoly. And this is an impenetrable box, by the way. When I place four corners of the box and tell you and describe to you how this box is impenetrable, you will realize it immediately. Now, I start out with the FDA on one corner. Now, you would think they're the boss, but that is not correct. They're the people who ensure the profits and the monopoly for the real boss, which is the drug cartel, who does not buy laws, they rent them, because they have to continually pay our helpful politicians to and unelected bureaucrats to keep their monopoly. Now, on the next corner, we have to have the salesmen for their drugs. The salesmen for their drugs, of course, are the doctors. Now, we have to close this box once and for all. We don't want anyone else in here, and that is the insurance companies. If you don't believe that, simply call your insurance company and say you would like for them to pay for your preventative health care. They do not, they're not interested in prevention. They're interested in sickness. End of story. So as you begin to relate to all of the agencies, not just a few and far between, but each one of them are producing elements that started out like the NPA, for example, that started out as a nutraceutical company that was really geared toward the small company who was trying to give the customer the very best and finest Mother Nature could offer. As the monopoly grew and realized that there was competition, the huge megapolis cartels, drug cartels, began to buy up all of these operators and cause others to go out of business so they could produce synthetic nutraceuticals. Synthetic so that when they did a drug test against a vitamin, quote-unquote, it would be their own synthetic form of vitamin and therefore would cause an easier time for their synthetic drug to bring forth some type of end result that they hope to gather. And sometimes they would even tie their own little synthetic form. They can never outdo Mother Nature's plain, simply untouched by man, natural nutraceutical. So as we begin to look throughout the ages, every decade, in the very beginning, doctors did not have the kind of respect that they command today. It was very difficult for the drug companies in the beginning to get us to buy their drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we looked at physicians, we looked at them in such a manner as maybe an accountant or some other professional out there that we would ask for advice on a time or two. But never would we think that we would just categorically take their suggestion or prescription, if you will, and just simply without question go take it. Now, they had to do a lot of things to make that come about. And one of the things that a lot of us can relate to is to damn the other industry, cause a pain and suffering type of word and phraseology, like these guys are quacks, don't go over there. This, we're PhDs, we're taught pharmacology, and et cetera, et cetera. So they had to do that, but it was very unsuccessful in the very beginning, because people simply were aware of what has been working for thousands of years and were not going to be fooled when they would come out with certain drugs that would do certain things. They would go to the opposite industry and talk about what quacks they were in that industry who were competing in that industry. So all of a sudden, we look at every little facet of things that happened throughout the years, and I'd like to turn back the clock to Benjamin Lusk. He was what I call the first father of medicine to me, okay? And mm-hmm. that was, he brought natural wellness, best put, to this country. He was persecuted and prosecuted over 30 times because what he was doing was healing and curing people. Now, they being the cartel, really realized that this type of competition had to be squelched. So they began to look in other areas. You might think in terms of the immortal Mr. Wizard, and I bring that up in my book. I don't know if anyone else has made this observation, but because of my training way back in my earlier childhood, I look at everything. So Mr. Wizard was one of the most immortalized people on the planet. He would make smoke happen and electrical current jump and et cetera, et cetera. He was a scientist, very well respected. I believe, personally, this is my own opinion, that that was one of the things that skirted the research of the drug cartel to realize that, geez, if we could get our salesmen to have that kind of respect, why, we could even introduce side effects to people, and they wouldn't even pay attention. They would just do what they were told. And
that's,
I call it
a code of
brain
advertising.
Tranquilization. What's that?
Yes, that's a code of advertising.
Yeah.
And your term, brain tranquilization, is a very good one, because that is typically what the skilled advertiser knows how to do. It captures your eye, especially with television.
Mm-hmm.
With radio, it can be sound effects, et cetera. But with television, it's the visual. And
right.
They know that most people are going to respond to the visuals
mm-hmm.
rather than what they're hearing. They
right.
like to think that that's the way it is, although there are a lot of people that do pay attention. A lot mm-hmm. of people don't.
Right. No, it's amazing. But, you know, the butterflies are going to be flying, and all of the people, the actors that they've got hired are going to be doing pleasant things in the background in this drug commercial, and while all the while they're telling you of the things that this drug is, it could possibly do, and by the way, it could even kill you. But why wait? Ask your doctor today for this miraculous little drug. Now, we have learned not even to be paying attention to that kind of thing. And when you go in and ask your doctor today, well, what about the side effects? He could, not that he would, but he could be so arrogant, as some of them are, and say, you let me worry about the side effects. You just take this drug, I told you. And that's how they have come to be today. And it started way back when they realized that they had to get their salesmen to have more respect, and they start buying into the TV shows and the movie theaters, et cetera, and bringing on these doctor programs after doctor programs to make them look like wonderful gods and goddesses up there doing the miraculous miracle thing. And all of a sudden, when all of that came into effect, Bill, baby, Bill, that's the way I describe it in my book, all of a sudden, overnight, they started building drugstores on every corner. Well, you know, everybody has to have a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
When they're going into business, what do you think they knew of that took place that finally capitalized and came to fruition for them to start building on every corner? You used to have to take your little prescription all the way across town to get it filled. Now you've got it on every corner. They had to have a business plan there. That's all I ask people to understand and to follow. And I do it quite politely in my book. I don't jam things down people's throat. I just introduce facts and talk about the unpleasantness, if you will, and I call it that, when you are a person that is thought of to be less relevant if you're well. They do not need well people. Now, wellness is not an entitlement in this country. You have to work for it. You certainly do. Your body is designed to heal itself, but what you put in your body and own your body will determine your future health.
David,
and it's the choices you.
I want to stop you right there. Would you mind staying with me for another 15 minutes?
Sure.
Okay, great. Because I want to discuss some things that you bring into your book,
mm-hmm.
and that is the supplement CoQ10,
mm-hmm.
which is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be able to discuss soy a little bit.
Sure.
And also share a story of a West Australian farmer, because it relates to some other stories I'm aware of, too. This is Donna Sebo. My guest today is David Tippy. He's a naturopath. His book is called Collapse of Drugs, and we've gone through different segments of information. Now we're going to be talking about some supplements when we come back. So we're taking a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back with more information about a natural supplements and about natural supplements and how they can benefit you. We're just going to touch on a few. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna, my guest. David Tippy, T-I-P-P-I-E is the spelling of his last name. The title of the book is Collapse of Drugs. Now, we're going to be giving you some information regarding CoQ10, which is a supplement that is just vital for natural health. And the first time I heard about it was years ago when I was doing a television show. A gentleman that was working behind the camera was a scientist. He volunteered to assist on the show, and he was a wonderful man. That was the first time I ever heard about it. And he said, this is something that eventually is going to be one of the most valuable supplements for a person to take. And my goodness, there's all kinds of information that's come out about it. David, in your book, you go into the information on CoQ10 and
Absolutely.
Its value. And when we were off air, I was saying to you, I had no idea there's a chewable form. Why is it valuable, and how can you find it chewable? Because most of the time it's in a capsule form.
The understood fact is that CoQ10 is the workhorse in the body. That's the leading edge of your immune system. It works in every facet, in every organ, in everything that takes place in the body. So it's called the workhorse. Very, very valuable for the system. The unfortunate thing is when you take it in capsule form and go through the stomach acid, you lose about 95 to 98% of its value.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you can get it in the chewable form to absolutely allow it to absorb through the oral mucosa in the mouth area, you then get full 100% value of the CoQ10. Now, that's what we have in our chewable form of CoQ10 that we offer to our clients. And, of course, on my website, livelonger123.com.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a substitute for it. There isn't a reason that a person should be without it. Your immune system is the most important system in your entire life. This is the very system that they try to destroy when they're involved in trying to do something about a symptom. They call it the disease, but when they're treating this particular symptom, they destroy your immune system. The symptom I'm referring to is cancer. That is not the disease now. It is only the symptom of the disease.
Right. All right, and excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. But you go into this in your book very extensively because you come from the positioning, which I'm very supportive of. Let's take care of our bodies. Let's educate ourselves so that we understand why supplementation is important. And in vitamin E, we learned years ago you don't want to take synthetic E because it's not going to work well for your body. You want to take the natural E. So it's a process of asking questions. And you have a story in here about an Australian farmer who lived in Melbourne, and he cured himself of colon cancer. And there was a gentleman out of Texas, I'm trying to remember, his father was able to develop two cancer cures, and that's an interesting story of itself because it was his son was the one that was able to bring it to the public's view. But this takes place in Australia, and he was told that his cancer was inoperable. The doctor said, I can't do anything for you. I'm not going to try to do anything for you. And so he ended up taking a selenium drench concentrate. What is that?
That is so amazing and wonderful that you brought that up, because the idea is, number one, before I can speak about it, I've got to clarify the fact that those of us in the wellness industry are by law forbidden to say treat or cure. So when I offer an example of something or tell people when they come to my clinics, listen, this is a suggestion. You may, because it's not against the law for you to heal and cure yourself. It's just against the law for me to prescribe and say I may do so. But this particular instance is the idea that selenium, being now a controlled substance because it cured people of cancer in our country, is still available for animals. Now, animals, it's okay to cure animals, but it's not okay to cure people. Well, people don't make money for the system. So this particular farmer realized after the doctors had told him that they've done everything they can, there's nothing else that they can do, just go home and die, he began to realize that, listen, he was a farmer, and he had cattle, goats, and sheep, etc., that all would develop some sort of disease, and yet he was able to give them a selenium drench that actually reversed and brought the cattle and sheep and goats back to a natural health. So he says, geez, I'm gonna try it for myself. So he calculated his weight as per what the ingredients were and started taking it. And miraculously, he went back some months later to the doctor, and the doctor could not believe his eyes. He says, I don't understand, but you don't have any sign of cancer. And I'm not, what have you been doing? And he says, well, I've been treating myself like I would one of my cows. And he says, what? Yes, I've been treating myself with a selenium drench just like I treat my cows. And he says, well, I don't know what you're doing, but I guess what you're doing is working, and I can't say anything about it. So all of a sudden, in a week or two, he found himself being visited by a lady who was a patient of the same doctor. The doctor, who could no longer do anything for the woman, sent the woman to him. And he said to the woman, "I'm sorry, ma'am, I cannot treat or cure you, but I can leave whatever it is that I've been doing here on my porch, and I can go about my chores, and you, if you wish, may steal it from me." And so she did, and took his potion, if you will, and began to get her on, and she cured herself. And it was a complete calamity of people that the doctor was sending to him. And finally, even the doctor himself developed a cancer and came mm-hmm. to see him. So mm-hmm. it was an amazing story, and people, I'm sure, will enjoy reading about it. It's absolutely phenomenal. But you can't underestimate the monopoly that is here in this country, and certainly sometimes we're late rather than early when it comes to using something natural. There mm-hmm. are other areas that seem to beat us to the punch, and I don't want to not allude to why that is. Drugs are where the trillions of dollars are.
Yes, wellness. And they have, yeah, and they have to be toxic, otherwise
yes.
they cannot be patented, and that
sure.
is something that there are times, I think that there are times when certain medicines can do some good, but when you are in a position to work with your body and you are willing to educate yourself, and that's one of the gifts that your book gives. Selenium, for example, if you have 2 Brazil nuts a day and you crack them out of the shell, and they're devils to crack,
absolutely.
But if you wanted to, you could buy them raw in the store, but it takes a handful.
You can't. No, you couldn't get near the amount of selenium if you allow somebody to crack them for you and put them in a bag, put salt on them and whatever they do to them, and set them on the grocery store shelf. As soon as you take Mother Nature's envelope from them, it needs to be consumed within 5 minutes. You get
uh-huh.
then 100% of the selenium. If you allow someone else to take it out of Mother Nature's cradle and put it in a bag, you've lost 98% right there.
Okay, well, that's really good to know. So get out the bowls of nuts,
about,
ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
with the shells on them, and crack them
yeah.
yourself, and
absolutely.
You've got more nutrition right there,
absolutely.
Just in 2 Brazil nuts a day with selenium, which is a wonderful factor for
sure.
being able to keep the inner workings of the body going well.
Absolutely. Balance is key. And, you know, you were mentioning that as you went into the subject there, that you have to be have a level of belief that your body can heal itself, and that man-made synthetics are always going to be rejected. Now, they call that side effect, but it's the body screaming at you, saying, "Please stop this lunacy! You know, get this. Don't do that." The first thing that we want to do when we sneeze, for example, is run to the drugstore and get an over-the-counter antihistamine. When your body is in fact telling you, "Please, you have trapped a pathogen of some sort in the nasal passages. Get some." Rejuvenous oligmatic silver and kill it all, and so we can stop trying to wash out the invaders. So it's just education. Education is key. When a person allows themselves to be educated, then and only then can they truly take back control of their own life and health. Because if you allow a doctor to make your decisions for your health, even if he makes a mistake, it's still your fault. Even
mm-hmm.
if all of it turns bad, it's still your fault. You made the choice to allow him. So everybody has got to remember, wellness is not an entitlement. You cannot allow someone else to make your decisions for your longevity and quality of life. Where are all of the satisfied customers if drugs were so well? so well thought of and so good. Where mm-hmm. are they at? Do you go to someone that's 100 years old and he's going to tell you, I thank God for my pharmaceutical drugs. They've given me this long, wonderful, healthy life. That's an oxymoron. The more drugs you take, the sicker you are and the less you're going to be on this planet.
Oh, that's true. And yeah. I know we're running out of time, David, but I'll quickly interject. I was having a conversation with someone just 2 weeks ago who was visiting a person that a friend had said, would you look in on her? It was a woman in her 80s. She was on 22 medications.
Jeez.
She didn't have a capacity of even thinking. The first thing they did was get her off of the medications. Fortunately, her son was a physician.
Wow.
He had no idea. He came out. He was told what was going on by friends. He came out and totally took her off of everything. And she lived for another 4 years. Her brain was clear, and she did well. He said,
right.
This is appalling. And I know of so many physicians that are so disgusted because they are finding, just like you, that there is a better way to work with people. I know we have run out of time. What is your website again? LiveLonger123?
LiveLonger123.com. Yes.
123.com.
You can click on book, and there'll be an excerpt of the book right there and a way that you can purchase it. LiveLonger123.com.
Well, David, we have run out of time. You've got so much good information in your book, and I'm so glad you took the time to write it out. And I congratulate you on what you're working on accomplishing, and I wish you well. Because
Donna, thank you very much.
It is really a very good objective to have, going for wellness rather than not enabling people. It's enabling people to do something that they can have charge of in their life and be educated about it, and I think it's great. This is Donna Sebo. Again, David Tippy has been my guest. Collapse of drugs due to wellness. How will that happen? You may be a contributing factor that will enable us all to be part of that movement, if you will, to take personal responsibility for our own health, our own wellness. Go to his website, livelonger123.com. Find out more. Where you can empower yourself, that gives you the ammunition to make your life, the quality of your life, richer and much, much healthier and better. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Quickly, I want to give out the phone number if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756. And don't forget this Saturday, those of you that are listening in from Western Washington, there is a wonderful event going on in downtown Tacoma area. It's the Dickens Festival in year number 6. And I have been invited to participate, and I just absolutely love doing it. It is an event that is for the family, and I'll be appearing at King's Bookstore. You can go to Dickens Festival, Tacoma, Washington, and find out all of the wonderful information. They've got all kinds of videos there and Facebook. You can make comments. There's all kinds of things going on relative to the event. And I'm going to be at King's Bookstore doing many consultations for people. I'll be doing that. There is a fee, but part of those proceeds will be going to the charity that the group that puts this together every year delegates that they're going to be supporting. So I hope you'll come out. Again, I'll be at King's Bookstore, and that's from 11 until 4, doing readings for people. So I'm looking forward to that. Hope you can join me. Don't forget, too, that if you would like to contribute a story to a book that I am working on, story about the paranormal, the unique, the unusual that have occurred in your life, I'd love to hear from you. Send an email to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. The reason I'm wanting to put the stories of people together is so that I can share it with others so that they know they don't have to be afraid of experiences. They are there to open up and expand our lives in very special ways. So your story could make a difference in someone's life, and I'd love to hear from you. Okay, and I wanted to share with you tomorrow, Rashmi and Kehlani is going to be with me. Her book is titled Divine Mother Speaks. And this is a book that I have to tell you, when I first got it, I thought, gee, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to get into it? She has got such wonderful wisdom in it that I'm looking forward to having her on the air and sharing it. And then a friend of mine, Mary Ellen, she is such a dear. She collects angel stories, has published a number of books, and we're going to be talking about some special Christmas stories relating to angels and true experiences of people. And then on Friday, we have a powerful interview with Allison Massari. This is a woman that has walked a road of experience I would not wish on anyone. This is a woman that has a story to tell that is extremely powerful and will touch your heart and your mind. She is a tremendous woman, and I'm just absolutely delighted that we've got such a great lineup of people. And remember, you can always check about the shows coming up and who's going to be on when you go to the Donna Sebo Show on station number 1 and tap show information. There is a listing of all the interviews, and you have a chance of being able to find out who's coming on when, and if you have a day off, I hope you'll tune in and tell your friends as well. Well, I know we don't have a bunch of time left, so hey, how about a winter horoscope for you? And I'll just give out what I'm able to give out before I have to say goodbye for the day. How about for those of you under the sign of Aries? What about romance and your family? Well, you know what? The holidays seem to have a little bit of that romantic glow to them. And you're going to find that when it comes to family, well, it's going to be more involved. That's not too much of a surprise with the holidays. But the romance, keep your eyes open and don't be afraid to be aware of some new people around you. Money, it is slowly but surely improving for you. And you are going to, if you're looking for a job, there's an opportunity for you to step into positioning that maybe you wouldn't think you would be qualified for, or that would even be available to you. But keep those resumes going out and knocking on those doors, because one is definitely going to open for those under the sign of Aries. Travel, well, you may not be able to be on the road a whole bunch, but you're going to find that your thoughtfulness, your holiday spirit, is going to touch other people in a very special way. Now, for those born under the sign of Taurus, well, you're just a romantic soul anyway, and you're going to find that if you're single, someone quite special may come into your life during this holiday season. Actually, throughout almost to the end of January is an opportunity to attract that special someone. And family, you're going to be really enjoying your social activities. And I think you're going to find that your extended family of friends and others will be very close to your heart. Money, career, Well, you have to set your sights high. You need to really expect that you can bring an abundance into your life and do everything you can to sharpen your skills and be the best possible, because that is what's going to bring what you desire into your space in the way of financial security as well as career. You got a lot of people that want to cap company with you. Why? Because you're just one of those dynamic individuals and you're fun to be around during the holiday season. So don't be surprised if you are going to have a busy social calendar. Well, that's for Aries and Taurus. This is Donna Sebo. I'll fill in the rest of you in the zodiacal circle. I'll talk with you and tell you more during the rainy part of this week. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous day. We'll be back here, same time, same place, right here, the Donna Sebo Show on VBS Radio Station 1 tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.